Amen. All right. Well, hey, how many guys have ever been surprised at how quickly somebody will turn on you? Kind of notice that, especially in days it seems to get worse. I mean, you're trying to do the right thing, and all of a sudden, man, they just go nuts on you, right? They just flip on you, right? And let me give you an example, like this guy. This guy, he's trying to do the right thing. He's a pet owner. He's got a dog, right? But I don't know if you've ever been to my house and seen my wiener dog. He maybe has a little bit too much food in his gut there. He's a little overweight, all right? Just back off. But this guy, you know, he's trying to do the right thing. His dog's overweight, right? And so he's trying to do the right thing and put him on a diet. But watch what his dog did when he did that. Let's take a look at that. Man, so much for dogs loving their master. You try to do the right thing, you gotta bite your leg off. Right, that went out the window. But folks, believe it or not, did you know one day the whole planet's gonna be like that? Yeah, God tells us, right? Okay, only it won't be from, listen, dogs turning on their masters. Listen, it's going to be actual people turning on other people, including their own family members. Oh, this is horrible. Jesus talks about this in the seven-year tribulation, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 12. Listen, at that time frame, he says what? Brother will betray brother to what? Death. Whoa, and a father turns on his own child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them what? Put to death, all just for personal preservation in the seven-year tribulation. People will turn on others in a heartbeat just to save their own hide. Just going to be a horrible time frame. In fact, we've been seeing, folks, that's bad enough. But Jesus said in Matthew 24, that's why the seven-year tribulation, he said, Matthew 24, is going to be the worst time in the history of mankind. So horrible that unless God kept it to 7 years, i.e. shorten that, just kept it to that, the entire human race would be destroyed. You don't want to be there. Okay, and that's why we've been in our study taking a look at the signs that the seven-year tribulation is getting close. Okay, the final countdown, tribulation rising. Okay, if you're a Christian, we don't have to worry about that, but we need to finish strong. Right, we need to get busy sharing the gospel because one day that's it. You don't get to witness in heaven. You don't get to store up treasure in heaven. It's only here, folks. That's why James says you better be wise with your time. What is your life? It's just a wisp of vapor. It's gone. Like, what happened to that? Right? Okay, so we need to be responsible. But if you're not saved, you need to get saved. This is not a game. You need to get saved now. That's why God tells you in advance to at least give you an opportunity. Don't squander it away. You don't want to be in the seven-year tribulation. Now, as you can see, our first sign that it's getting close was our study, 20-week study on the Jewish people and the Antichrist, the Middle East, all that stuff's going on, that in the news still to this day, that's a sign that it's getting close. Then we saw a 16-week study, modern technology. All the things that we take for granted, we live, eat, and breathe in technology. Believe it or not, prophesied in the Bible that that's the society and the technology that would come when you're living in the last days. And then we saw, okay, the last, how many times? A whole bunch of times, okay, has been our third sign, 17 times, is the AI invasion. And what we saw is John wrote the book of Revelation 2,000 years ago, roughly. This is from the book of Daniel, 2,600 years ago. A sure sign that you're living the last days is when you see not just an increase of travel, but an increase of information, a knowledge tsunami, explosion of knowledge, i.e. this creation of artificial intelligence that God says is going to lead, in the book of Daniel, to the end of times, the end of humanity. It's not good, okay? And what we saw is even the secularists agree with that, except they don't call it end of times. They use the word called singularity. Singularity is where they say AI, machines, and robots are going to take over the planet and destroy humanity. It's the same thing. Singularity, end of time, same thing. But even they warn that this is really happening. And so we begin to take a look. Well, how do we get in this shape so fast with this artificial intelligence that God warned about? Why are people doing this even though God said don't do it? Okay, well, there's a race for AI, we saw. That corporations, militaries, governments around the world are all trying to beat each other and to create the biggest, baddest AI to control all the other AIs and literally take over the planet. Okay, remember Google? They want to be like the mind of God. Okay, and the reason why they started their search engine on tape was to create AI. Folks, they've had a long-term plan for a long time. They're not the only corporation, okay? Then we saw the definition of AI, the types of AI, the history of AI, the big data that's needed to create AI, and the makers of AI. And then the last 14 times, just like God said, just like the seculars are saying, the future of AI is not looking good. It's what's called the new electricity. You might have heard about AI, whatever, but it's not going away. It's now going in the behind the scenes and has taken over, literally, on a global scale, everything you could think of that runs our global system. We saw it's taken over the finances, the businesses, the convenience aspect and delivery and all that stuff, agriculture, communication, education. And the last two times we saw was even the medical system is being taken over by AI as we sit here, just in time for what I believe is the leverage that the Antichrist is going to use to force people to do whatever in the world he wants them to do. You can do that if you control the medical system on the planet. AI right now, as we already saw, is replacing doctors, it's replacing surgeries, it's assisting surgeries. There's now even robot surgeries without no human involved. And then last time, AI is predicting diseases, okay, that can be used to control people or kill them with a false diagnosis, whether they had it or not. Okay, but also it's replacing the administration, the gatekeeper, right? You need some health care, right? Well, you ain't going nowhere. AI is going to be the one making the decisions whether you get treatment, diagnosis, anything, whether you even get access into a medical facility. AI is now starting to automate that process. So I believe in the seven-year tribulation, it could lead to this scenario where the Antichrist has got some major leverage. Remember Revelation 13 says he's going to make, order, force, cause people to obey him and do whatever he says to do. Well, how are you going to do that on a global basis? He uses a lot of things for leverage, including the medical community. He could say this, you want that medical treatment? There's a lot of disasters going on in the seven-year tribulation, right? Hey, no problem. Just take the chip. You want that wound addressed? You're bleeding all over the place? Just bow a knee. That's all you're going to do. What's that? You just want to have any kind of health care and check out something's not right? And you ain't going nowhere. You ain't getting access to nothing until you worship the beast. Holding it over people's heads, folks, amongst all the other things he's already doing, I think that's going to be used on a massive scale. But that's not all. Let's see just how much I believe that people are going to be in a desperate need for medical care in the seven-year tribulation. Now, not just as we saw the last two times with the seals in the first half of the seven-year tribulation, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments we saw, but even all the way to the very end, okay, people are going to need some serious medical care during that time. And whoever controls it, boy, I tell you what, you got some leverage, okay? But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's. Open your Bibles to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. If you find it in the dictionary, what do? Hanging left. That's right. Revelation 16. And we're going to read the bold judgments that's recorded for her here. And this is, again, at the end of the seven-year tribulation, right? And just prior to when Jesus Christ comes back at the end and squelches down the Battle of Armageddon and begins the process of setting up, praise God, his millennial kingdom, literally ruling and reigning on planet Earth from Jerusalem. And we get to be a part of that. But this is towards the very end of the seven-year tribulation. Verse 1 in Revelation 16. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. And the first angel went and poured out his bowl in the land, and ugly and painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man. And listen, every living thing in the sea died. Think about that. Now, before in the trumpets, we saw one-third of the stuff in the sea died. This is everything. Can you imagine how big the ocean is? That's hard for us to grasp. But every single thing, even the things way down below and those things that, you know, it's got that little dangly eyeball that glows in the dark. I mean, everything's going to be dead. Every living thing. Can you imagine the stench from that? Woo, man. I mean, God, this is it. This is the last straw, right? And then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of the water, and they became blood. And so notice that they got no fresh water before. A lot of people died from that, but now it's all. So it's God's putting it all down. Then I heard the angel in charge of the water say, you, speaking about God, are just in these judgments, you who are and who were the Holy One, because you have so judged, for they shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve. And I heard the altar respond, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judge. Who's in control here? God's in control, folks. That's a great message about the seven-year tribulation. Oh, Satan thinks he's having a heyday, especially with his man, the Antichrist, and his cohort, the false prophet. But who's in control? God is. He's always in control, folks. There's never not a time when God's not in control, right? That's a great message. Now, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was what? Given power to scorch people with fire. Now, notice the timing. He takes away all the water first, now turns up the heat. Right? That's not by chance. They were seared by intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they still what? Talk about hardness of heart. You still won't turn to God? He's trying to get your attention, man. But they still would not, they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel sounded, poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, the Antichrist, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony, and they cursed God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. The sixth angel pours out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. Okay, and I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs, and they came out of the mouth of the dragon, which is Satan, clearly defined, Revelation 12, right? Out of the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist, out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs. Listen, they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. They're gathering them in one last time. Satan knows he's going to lose, but he's gathering the remains of the planet this time to try to take on God. It's called a suicide mission, folks. And it is going to be a bloody battle. If you read in Revelation, it's going to be so bad at the Battle of Armageddon, God puts it down just like that. Hello, he's God. Now he's back on the planet. Okay, Jesus' second coming. But it says the blood of these people who had the audacity to think they're going to take over and destroy God will be at the height of a horse's bridle. The blood, that's how deep it is, for 200 miles. You don't want to be there. If you're not saved, man, you better get saved. This is not a game. And then he continues on. He says, now, that's what he got. Behold, Jesus said, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him so that they may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in the Hebrew is called Armageddon. So now here it is. The seventh angel poured out his bowl in the air, and out in the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, it is done. That's it. Here it is. Then there came flashes of lightnings, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. Listen to this one. Remember the last one shook all the islands and shook all the mountains? Watch how big this one is at the very end. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since man has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. Every city on the planet collapses. How many cities? Every. And then, listen to this, okay? And then, not only that, it says, God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. How many islands? Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. The whole planet is leveled. That's how big this thing is. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, if you got a couple of stragglers, from the sky, huge hailstones of about 100 pounds each fell upon men. A 2-pound hailstone is about the size of a football. Take 50 footballs and tape them all together. That's how big these things are. Falling upon men. And yet, the heart of man, watch this. They curse God on the account of the plague of hail because the plague was so horrible. You may be seated if you can. Man, this is rough, man. And it, again, tells people's issue here that's going on in the seven-year tribulation. Okay, but my point in bringing this up is, praise God, number one, as a Christian, you're not going to be there. Amen? Okay. But we need to tell people to avoid this. This is really coming, right? We don't just people, hey, it's not, heaven's not is real. It is real. But so is hell, all right? But guess what? There's hell on earth coming to the planet, and you don't want to be here for that either, okay? And we need to keep that in mind. But here's my point. After all those disasters, I don't know, you guys seem like a sharp crowd this morning. How many guys would say that however few are left, they're probably going to need some medical care? Yeah, you know, I mean, what's going on, right? Ugly, painful sores break out on people who take the mark. Every living thing in the sea dies. There's no fresh water supply left whatsoever on the whole planet. The sun is scorching people with intense heat and burning, and they're gnawing at their tongues. There's this giant battle of Armageddon. They are big-time losers. An earthquake so big that not only it shakes the whole planet, but every island and mountain flees away, and all the cities collapse. Everybody's going to need, whoever's left, some medical care. So again, here's my point. Whoever controls the medical system on the planet, as we've seen now for all three judgments, the beginning with the seals, then the trumpets, and now even with the bowls, man, that could be some serious leverage over people, right? Right? Because it's going to be a huge, constant, mega need. And folks, I'm telling you, it isn't just happening. It's happening with the help of AI. AI is slowly permeating, taking over virtually every aspect of the medical system on the whole planet. And I think it's going to be used as major mega leverage throughout the whole 7-year tribulation until Jesus finally comes back and takes it over the planet, okay? And once again, he's doing that. AI is not just replacing doctors and surgeries and predicting diseases and replacing administration. But listen, AI is now controlling your diet. I mean, that's how it's being pitched to us. And it's just the greatest thing, you know, whatever. And again, this is huge. As we've been seeing in all three of these texts with these disasters, okay, people are not just going to need medical care from the injuries and things of that nature, those that survive. But with those disasters, which includes famines, wars, pestilences, what's it going to do to the planet? It's not just going to create an increase of medical care, but there's going to be an increase of food shortages, right? So you're going to need to, if you're going to try to keep society going at that time frame, you're going to need to control the food supply. Now, we've already seen in our AI agriculture section, that's exactly what's happening. Basically, the world's food supply right now is in the hands of three entities around the globe, Trace the Trail and Trace the Money, and they admit whoever controls the food supply controls the population. Okay, but we also saw AIs beginning to take over the distribution of that as well. Okay, but here's what's happening now in this time frame is that AI is not just taking over the food supply and using that, but listen, they're figuring out how to micromanage it down to the individual person, right? To where they will tell you what you can and cannot eat. And we know that's coming because in the first half in Revelation 6, remember the wheat and barley text? Where it says after the global war and the global famine and pestilences that follow war at that time, what's going to happen? There's going to be just in the first half, there's going to be a global famine, right? And it's going to get so bad that there's going to be a global system that will dictate, and the context is global, dictate around the planet that you as a person have to work in the 7-year tribulation one whole day and you can get a quart of wheat. Remember that? Which is halfway nutritious. Okay. Or you could opt out for barley. Get 3 quarts of barley for you and basically a family of two, but that's less nutritional. It's kind of like animal feed, right? So we know that's coming, right? But again, my question is, well, that's already happening. They're already corralling control of the food supply, but how are you going to get it down to the individual level? Well, I'm telling you, folks, they're doing that with AI, and they're getting us conditioned to have an outside entity, not just the government, but with the help of AI, they will literally begin to tell us what to eat, when to eat, every little thing you can think of about your body. And it's a step-by-step incremental approach getting us used to having somebody dictate our diet with the help of AI. Now, let me give you a couple examples how they slowly are working us into that arena. Okay, and the first way is what's called AI life coaches. You know, that's the term in the industry. And because we all know apparently how hard it is for us to think about anything nowadays, to do anything for ourselves. It's just too hard, right? Apparently, right? We got to decide what to do. I mean, let alone what we're supposed to eat or drink or how much exercise we're supposed to get. I mean, apparently we're not smart enough anymore, right? We need somebody to tell us what to do. I mean, and then again, every week they keep coming up with some new rule, some new regulation. You're supposed to eat this. You're supposed to eat that. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. No, no, now you can eat that. No, don't eat that. You're going to die. Right? I can't keep track of that all stuff. Can you? There's so many rules and regulations. There's calories, there's miles, there's steps you got to count. There's carbohydrates. Is it a good carbohydrate? Is it a bad carbohydrate? There's keto, schmeto, mosquito, all that stuff. The beach diets again. Oh, no! So wouldn't it be great? There's just too much. Wouldn't it be great if somebody could do all that for us? Could monitor our bodies and tell us at any moment what we're supposed to eat and exercise and what we're doing right or wrong? And folks, I'm telling you, that's what these AI life coaches are. That everybody's warming up to. Now, let me give you one example that's out there, okay? And, oh, by the way, a lot of them are free. Why would you want them for free, right? But this one, it's called Lark, you know, like, it'll tell you when you had too much bacon. Pay attention, John, all right? Let's take a look.
I've been trying to lose weight. I used to manually track every calorie. Let me show you. So at breakfast, I had eggs, bacon, and a side of toast and coffee. Let me start by typing in eggs, and it's going to pull up some options. Oh, I guess there were scrambled eggs, but mostly egg whites. I'll just take this. 51 calories. Great. And I'll repeat this step for the bacon, toast, and coffee. It's a lot of steps, and I don't get any instant feedback. I feel like I'm trying to lose weight alone, which is challenging. However, it's really quick and simple to chat about eating healthier with LARP. Let me show you. I just tap this button, and I can speak directly to my personal coach. Eggs, bacon, and a side of toast and coffee. LARP does all the logging for me and gives me immediate feedback when I need it most. Oh, looks like I had too much bacon this week. No bacon for me the rest of the week. Super simple, and I'm on my way. LARP also tracks how active I've been and keeps me motivated. It's like having a buddy and a coach in my pocket.
That what? Tells you what to do, when to eat, what not to eat? You had too much bacon, Bob. You're in trouble. No more for the rest of the week, right? And again, what's that? We're being conditioned to have something else. I mean, we can't make those choices ourselves. We got to have the government tell us what to do. But there's too many people, and they can't micromanage that, but AI can. If we all just get these AI life coaches, they will literally dictate our diet. Tell us when to eat, what to eat, whatever they say is supposedly, and they're the ones that make up the rules of what's supposedly good. Remember when bacon was supposed to kill you? Now it's back to being good. Have you noticed that? Life is great, right? Right? But remember when they said oatmeal was good for you, but then no, it's not really good for you. Remember when they said eggs were good for you? Well, they're still rotten for you. Eggs are embryonic evil. That's what they are from chickens. But anyway, that's right. You know, they get it wrong, right? But we're getting used to having somebody outside tell us what to do. They make up the rules. I don't know about you, but man, my family members live a long time. You know, my great-grandfather, he lived 96 years old, man. He was still doing his own thing, planting his own garden, peanut butter jelly sandwiches, right? Whatever. My grandma, man, she lived on grease. My whole family was grease. It was grease this. And it was pig bacon grease, man. You cook the bacon in the morning. You don't throw that grease away. Are you kidding me? You put that in the can. Because then when the men come back in the fields at lunch, right, that's what you use to cook the lunch with, right? And then if you got some grease, I'm not making it up. You got some grease left over at night, that's what they pour all their food, man. We lived on grease. Let's close in prayer. Right? In a high note. Right. But we're getting used to having somebody tell us what? Literally micromanaging our diet. What you can and cannot eat. And you're going to be punished if you don't. Folks, I'm telling you, it's a slippery slope. But now it's being combined with AI. And now we can literally tell every person on the planet, technically, what to do with your diet. But again, their pitching is everything. Everything to do with your health, too. Not just your diet, your food intake. If you get an AI life coach, it will, quote, help you stop smoking. It will help you maintain an exercise routine. Oh, listen to this. AI will help encourage you to become vegan. Now, this is weird. In fact, Hollywood, listen, this is an article. Beyonce is using artificial intelligence to help you eat vegan. Quote, she's encouraging an AI future of personalized nutrition. Why are they, Hollywood's being used to do all kinds of things to encourage people down a track, okay, that they want us to go down. But why are people so hung up on a vegan diet? You notice that? They're encouraging kids to go vegan, whatever. And, of course, I had to do the research in the National Council Beef magazine. It's something like that, Beef Ranchers or something like that. But anyway, I remember coming across that years ago because this has been pushed for a long time. Why do they want people to go vegan? Well, one of the things that the Beef Council is saying is, especially in early development with young kids, if you don't have protein, which comes from meat, okay, it actually inhibits proper brain development. Now think about that. If you wanted to dumb down a population, not just with the media and the secular school system, but if you literally wanted to dumb them down in their brains, what should you do? Get them away from meat-based protein that they need for proper brain development. Okay, but I think there's another reason why. Why are they so hung up on people going to become vegan? Well, I think it's not only, again, another step to having control over people's diets, and certainly AI can micromanage it on a global scale, but listen, we're headed towards what? The wheat and barley text. in the 7-year tribulation, it didn't say, and you work a whole day and you get a pound of pork. You work a whole day, and unfortunately, because you chose the less nutritional option, you get 3 chicken legs. Every word in God's word is there for a reason. What will people be eating in the 7-year tribulation during these famines? Wheat and barley. You know, a plant-based nutrition diet. So if you encourage people now to make that switch, then there's not a lot of meat eaters left behind to grumble and whine and complain. I don't think it's my chance, folks. And I think that's another reason why that's being pushed. But again, what we're seeing AI life coaches dictating our diet and all kinds of things, okay? Now, but there's a problem with this. You see, what you saw was the example. It's an app on your phone, right? But guess what? You could lose your phone. It could get broken. Somebody could steal it. And then what are you going to do? How will you know what to eat? Well, they've already, again, it's a step-by-step process. Now, they're getting us to do AI wearables, right? Because they're more secure. They're strapped onto your wrist, okay? In fact, they're all over the place. These have been pushed for quite some time, too. And let me just show you a picture here. There's all different kinds of wearables that what? Monitor your food intake, your diet, your exercise, your steps, and all that stuff. It's the same thing, okay? But again, see, these are strapped on your wrist, and they're much more secure to make sure that AI can dictate what you eat and exercise and all that stuff, right? In fact, they're putting all their eggs into this basket. Watch these statistics. First of all, these AI, a lot of the new ones they're coming out with, these wearables, they can recharge wirelessly, which means you don't ever have to worry about them running out of battery and then, oh no, you're shut out of the system. You don't know what to eat. Did I eat too much pork? So they're always on, always monitoring you because they can grab signal from a wireless pretty much everywhere you go. And they not only track your footstep data, but these wearables track your biometrics. Everything about your health from, and I quote, blood oxygen level, blood pressure, pulse, body temperature, heart rate, even sleep patterns, transmit that data wirelessly. See, you thought it was just about you. Oh no, it's being transmitted where? To a dedicated hub that goes to a cloud-based database system where it is stored and, quote, analyzed by, quote, health professionals to generate, here it is, just like Beyonce said, personalized notifications about your health, okay? And they even admit it. AI-enabled wearables not only track your data, but define how much you should sleep, how you should train to improve your fitness, and quote, direct quote, what a user needs to eat. In real time, by the way, because it's always monitoring you. And again, listen to how much they're investing in this. AI wearables in the health industry are up $11.5 billion, not million. That's what they spent in 2018. They're estimating it's going to $42.4 billion by 2023. So this is the trend. This is where it's headed big time. And what they're pitching is this. Wearables, with the help of AI, controlling it all, promises great benefits for health by conducting high-speed diagnostics for greater accuracy, eliminating human error, and providing, quote, future generations with greater health. Because that's what it's all about. Now, fortunately, you don't have to imagine what this AI controlling our diet and health, every aspect of our lives, looks like. The commercials are already out there. In fact, the equipment to do it is already out there. Watch this commercial. You may have seen this one on TV. Watch this.
Imagine a future where one day machine learning will give you the power to track your sleep. Imagine.
Excuse me, ma'am?
Yes? Can I help you?
Yeah, this already does that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, now you do.
Okay, let's try this again. It's all right, I'll start again. Imagine one day a tiny device with an optical sensor will send you an alert if your heart rate is too low. Yes? What? It already does that. What? Oh, okay. Well, how about we'll send you an alert if your heart rate is too high?
It already does that!
All right, let's try something new. We'll send you an alert if you're someplace that's too loud!
I just received one of those alerts.
Really? Well, you should probably find a quieter place, sir.
You should probably mind your own business.
Ugh. Okay, imagine one day in the future.
Hold on.
No. Let me finish.
1 second.
You'll be able to take an ECG.
It already does that.
It already does that.
I heard that.
Good. What about continuously track your elevation? Does it do that?
Does that.
Right, got it.
Does that.
Thank you.
Does that.
Yep, heard it the first time. Encourages you to stay fit.
Does that.
Okay, I get it. You're fit. I don't know. Will it automatically call 911 if a bear chases you off a cliff and you take a hard fall?
Yeah, already does that.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
You gotta be kidding me. Okay. I got it. Let's go from the top. Imagine a day, a future. Imagine a future. One day, tiny device, blah, 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 that uses red and infrared light to measure your blood oxygen level. Yes? What?
No.
Don't you dare say it. I'm sorry, I can't hear you!
Very cute.
Wow. Interesting tagline there. The future of your health is where? On your, you know, it's not too far from the hand, especially the right hand. See where it's going to go? Yeah, we'll get to that in just a second. But see, that's the problem, though. It's more secure as far as you can't, you know, it should stay on you better than the phone. You could lose it and get cracked. Well, at least this is strapped on, but still technically, you could forget it. You could forget to strap it on, or the strap could break and then it's going to come off. And then how will you know? What will you do? How will you have your health monitored? It's all tied in the system. Oh, by the way, it can track you even when you're in what? Space? This is a global thing, folks. So this thing can track. The future of your health is on your wrist. But again, what if there was a more permanent way? I mean, the phone, okay, these next steps better, but still you could lose it. But I mean, what if they took that same microchip technology that works with wireless systems and AI manages, and what if they could put that on the outside of your body, like a permanent tattoo? Or maybe on the inside of your body with like a microchip subdermal implant that will monitor your health and send all that in real time wirelessly to some sort of database and tell you exactly everything about your health. That's already here. We've talked about this before in some of our Mark of the Beast issues with the RFID technology, radio frequency identification. That technology has been around for a long time. IBM is a huge, big developer of that, okay? And that one technology, that one little tiny microchip, okay, can do three things. It can act as a tracking device. It could store information and be used to make payments, right? Believe it or not, that technology can do both options. They can now take RFID microchip technology and it can be printed as a tattoo, a permanent tattoo, on the outside of your body. They could also do it in such a way as you don't see it, except with a light that will illuminate. That's been around for a while. There was a company, they started with animals. There was a company called SoMark, interesting name. And what they do is they would use this RFID technology and mark cows and livestock, and then but you couldn't see it, right? But it was literally printing this microchip technology on the outside of the body. But also the other option they've got figured out is how they take this same microchip technology and just put it in this little subdermal thing and they just pop it in. We've seen that several times. My point is this. There's actually a debate in some of the prophecy circles on Revelation 13, the mark of the beast, where it says you get a mark on the right hand or the forehead. And that word there, some say, well, no, it means on, so it's external. And some say, no, it means, the Greek word there means in the right hand or in the forehead, so it's subdermal. The point is, it doesn't matter. They have the technology for both. But watch how they're taking the next step already. We've been conditioned into it. Start with AI telling us what we need to do with our diet and our health. With a phone to a wearable, now you can get an external tattoo or an internal implant. Let's take a look at that.
Wearable tech should enhance our lives, well-being, and health. This particular idea aims to bring the latter to a whole new playing field. Imagine if we could have an invisible tattoo, an RFID of sorts, not internal to our bodies, but rather printed in our skins. This invisible tattoo would contain information such as blood type and medical history, current prescriptions, prior surgeries, and so forth. But here's the catch. This tattoo is not a temporary wash-off tattoo. It constantly updates with our current health information, stays up to date with what prescriptions we took and what we ate that day. Why? Well, in case of an accident or a major health problem, the emergency response unit and doctors can instantly know your medical history. For example, this can be used to minimize the number of deaths due to blood transfusion errors, allergic reactions to medication, or dangerous interactions between drugs. Furthermore, since medical history is personal, the tattoo would be invisible in broad daylight, revealing itself only under a black light.
A small electronic device implanted in a Salt Lake woman monitors exactly what she needs to do to take care of herself. The 75-year-old patient is the first to volunteer for this unique clinical trial in Utah. More on the story from medical specialist Ed Yates.
Can I take a listen to you?
At Intermountain Medical Center in Murray, cardiologist Jeffrey Osborne is checking on his patient, Nancy Olson. Inside her body is a new device that's almost like a portable doctor, a sensory, if you will, monitoring her health 24 hours a day.
It's able to tell us exactly where her volume status is without guessing.
Nancy has congestive heart failure. The device implanted just under the skin picks up all kinds of data and transmits to a handheld monitor what she needs to know. It takes her temperature and measures the left atrial pressure in the heart. It looks and listens, dispatches all the information, then tells what specific doses of medicines she needs to take at that time. The implants are customized to fit each patient's condition and any nuances in their metabolisms. Future microscopic devices could float in the bloodstream, monitoring almost anything that's measurable in every part of the body.
And if you think that's impressive, Dr. Osborne says future heart sentries might even be tied to a GPS system that would automatically hail an ambulance when the patient gets in trouble.
How extraordinary.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
Yeah, can you imagine? So, wow, you can never lose these babies. It's permanently tattooed on you. Oh, by the way, that's another thing. I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord. But let's say it is, the mark is more of a kind of a external permanent tattoo thing. You know, people say, well, okay, the hand, people are into, are tattoos on the rise? Yeah, wonder why. Perfect timing again. But again, for those people who say, I'm not going to get a tattoo in the middle of my forehead. Right. Well, hey, you don't see it. It only shows up with a certain light. I don't know, could be. But again, these are permanent. Either way, it's covered. You get a permanent external microchip tattoo that monitors everything about your health, your diet, everything, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or you could do the internal one. And it's wirelessly. So it could all be watching you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether you want to or not. And if you do anything wrong, it can let you know. Folks, you know exactly where this is headed. Okay. It's Revelation 13, 16 through 17. Okay. He also what? Forced. Okay. Everyone's rich, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now notice it's what? He, and this is in the 7 year tribulation, he forced. Now what does that mean? That means it's a mandate. That means you're going to take it whether you want to or not. And you're going to be punished. You're going to be shut out of the system if you don't take this mark and worship the beast. But it's a good thing that we don't see this AI wearable technology monitoring all aspects of our health being mandated. I mean, right now, nobody's forcing you to download that app for your phone. And nobody's forcing you to go get the latest Apple iWatch thing that's monitoring all that stuff. Nobody's forcing you right now to get that external medical 2.0 tattoo or that implant like that lady. Is there any signs that they're getting us conditioned to be forced to do these things? Well, yes, we are. In fact, I couldn't believe I came across this. Of all entities, listen, right now as we sit here, who is forcing their students to wear AI wearables to monitor their health at all times, and if you don't have the health requirements that they define for you to have, it lowers your grade. You get punished. Of all entities, I expect this from a secular university. This is a so-called Christian university. This is from Oral Roberts University. Watch this. This is nuts.
Oral Roberts University, based in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they're making their incoming students wear fitness trackers. The school then collects and tracks their fitness data that ultimately will affect their grades. Is it going too far, or are they actually just being proactive because of the good data out there that students who are active actually do better in school?
Big Brother is watching. I mean, to me, what this sounds like is just grooming a whole generation of kids to be comfortable being monitored.
As well as, I don't think I'm stretching it, a whole new generation of kids who might very well be left behind just because you go to a so-called Christian university don't make you no Christian, just like going to a church service don't make you a Christian. But I think it's preparing them to receive the mark of the beast. Even when it comes out as a mandate. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's just like at school. Remember that? We had to wear that thing. It's all conditioning, folks. In fact, they're predicting this scenario with the same technology. For adults, quote, imagine being asked by your employer to participate in a wellness program. Right? Now it's mandated. You don't have an option. Oh, you want to keep your health care? Rising costs every year. Right? You want to keep it? Then you better do and eat what we say. In exchange for a discount on your health insurance premiums. But the program requires you, quote, to carry a Fitbit, which now tracks how many steps you walk per day. Quote, this data is then sent to your employer and, quote, the Accountable Care Organization, which has a database that includes all your demographic data and your complete health records, which we saw last week is being mandated by 2024 with the Obamacare situation and that system. You wonder why Biden and the Democrats were freaking out with Trump saying he's going to get rid of that thing, right? Now, it goes on. It says the recipients of that data could use AI to match your activity to your medical records, potentially revealing whether you are, for example, sick. Oh, couldn't we use this for COVID? AI will figure it out. You know, keep, not everybody's downloading that app. But everybody gets this, and AI will tell you who's got it and who's not. And he goes on, he says this, he says, potentially whether you're sick or in the case of a woman pregnant, quote, this information could then be sent to your employer and could potentially, this is a direct quote, could potentially be used as a basis for termination. In other words, you got fired. In other words, you just lost your health care. In other words, you just got shut out of the system. You lost your job. You're not going to be able to buy into all that stuff, that mentality, the technology. It's already starting to prepare people. All because you allowed AI to take over the medical system and begin to dictate everything we do about our diet, health, and exercise. Okay? But one more real quick. The sixth way that AI is controlling the global medical system is it's now controlling the drug supply. Okay? The drug supply. And I believe this is another huge way that the Antichrist could use as leverage. Right? I mean, with the food thing, you sit there and say, you know, you're in the seven-year tribulation, and you say, hey, man, I'm hungry. I need some food, all these famines and stuff. And the AI life coach says, no way, Jose, you had too much bacon already. And you don't get it, right? You're still hungry? What's that? Wheat and barley ain't filling you up too good? Hey, we'll give you something else, but you need to worship the Antichrist first. What's that? You're still hungry? The famines and all that stuff? You know what? You said something negative. We're going to shut you off for today. Come back tomorrow. And with a more positive attitude, maybe we'll feed you. So that's being built in, I think, as leverage. But the drug supply, think about this, folks. Last time I checked, medical, you speak about medical, we're still on that topic, medical. Last time I checked, drugs come in handy when you go in for surgery. Can anybody verify that? Okay, because what is, would the outcry be of every person who went for surgery and they weren't given drugs before they begin to cut your chest open for heart surgery? What would you do? Right? So to keep you from, what do you do? They give you drugs. They give you drugs not only for surgery, but even post-surgery to heal up after they cut you open, right? Not only that, even if you don't have surgery, oftentimes if you get an illness or something going on, what do they give you? Or an injury, they give you drugs. So drugs are a huge part of the medical industry. And guess what? Guess who's taking over that now? AI. And you know what the rationale is? As you can see with this article, AI can do it much more faster and cheaper. You know why? Because AI has the capability to do things that humans can't do. AI can read millions, not thousands, millions of medical articles, abstracts, millions of medical journals, all at the same time in a very short amount of time. Humans can't do that. AI can. And because of that, it can come up with new drug treatments like never before. In fact, right now the trend is there's a ton of new drug treatment startup companies that are using AI to produce drugs faster, cheaper than any human ever could. Here's just one of them. Watch what they're doing.
I founded Verge really on the vision of building the first pharmaceutical company that could really develop rapidly multiple transformative treatments for patients. And the ultimate goal for us is to build a scalable drug discovery engine that automates the discovery of cures across every human disease personalized for each patient. Drug discovery is still really a guessing game, and that's why right now it takes over $1 billion in 12 years just to develop a single new drug.
it's quite frustrating, especially you look at the other indications out there, a lot of diseases that are unmet because it takes so long to identify the proper target, the proper pathway that we should be applying therapeutically. You know, why are we still spinning our heads doing traditional drug discovery when we know that it's not working?
Yeah, John, why are we doing this? Why are we going to beat our heads against the wall? Why are we having humans still develop the drugs for us? AI can do it so much faster and cheaper. I mean, did you hear the stats, what she's saying? On average, I didn't know this, it takes about 12 years of research, $2.6 billion just to bring one experimental drug to the market. Oh, and then after that, there's only about a 5% chance that it's even going to make it to the market. And this is why that's just one of about 100 startups using AI in the field of drug discovery, taking over the controls, creating the drugs, okay? IBM's big on it. Google's big on it. Investing not millions, but billions of dollars in having AI take over the drug industry. They say it's also not just can create them faster and cheaper, but it's much more reliable than humans. And we could verify that, right? How many times the new drugs that come out, what's the new trend? Have you noticed that? They have those rapid disclaimers. They speak faster than I do. I don't know where they get those people, right? And they give you the disclaimer, right? But during these commercials, you know, you take this medication, it'll help you stop smoking. But, you know, what's all the horrible side effects? And in order for you not to pay attention to what they're just about to disclaim to you is going to do to you, it does the one positive thing, but 500 other bad things. What do? They distract you. They got that turkey with the cap on, you know, under the campfire, right? Or they got that guy out there doing disco, mowing his lawn. Remember that? And the whole thing is to distract you. Is that guy's ripping out? He says, "Oh, hey, man, I feel great. I got you know full motion with my shoulder, you know, and this is fantastic, you know. But at what cost? Now I got thoughts of suicide. I want to kill myself. I got liver disease. I developed brain cancer. My mouth is swollen, and my left leg just fell off. Woo!" But see, that's what happens when humans develop the drugs. They make mistakes. But this is what they're saying: not with AI. If you let AI take this over, oh, you're not going to have all those horrible side effects. So faster, cheaper, no horrible side effects. Here's the other one. AI can then administer the drug. You know, make this the one that will give you permission or access to that drug. They call it, if you want to look in the media, personalized medicine. Personalized medicine. And what they say is AI can now not just make drugs, but personalized drugs, not a one-size-fits-all, hopefully, drug like humans make, but one that is custom-tailored to the individual's specific genome. Boy, who wouldn't want that? In fact, here's IBM's Watson. Amongst all the other things their AI is doing, they're pitching IBM Watson. If you allow Watson to take over the drug industry, the medical industry, they're saying, oh, it's going to be such a wonderful world. Let's take a look at that.
The world was introduced to the wonder of Watson in 2011 on Jeopardy. And now IBM's AI supercomputer has graduated to bigger challenges.
Maintenance records and performance data suggest replacing capacitor C4.
Watson is learning to help industries like hospitality, business management, and even sports with its cognitive abilities. Now healthcare is Watson's next frontier.
Working together, we can help everyone live healthier.
First up, Watson for Oncology is helping cancer patients find the best treatment.
So it uses that natural language processing again to actually go through and read in the data from a patient's electronic medical record. And then it goes through and it's read all the journal articles. It knows about all the latest clinical trials that are out there. And it can provide the best evidence-based recommendation to help choose the appropriate treatment.
IBM Watson Health's Kathy McGrady-Getz says with medical information doubling every 2 years, Watson's processing power is helping patients around the world.
We've touched 12,000 patients with our oncology solution alone in less than a year.
Next, remember this? The ALS Ice Bucket Challenge started in 2014 and raised $115 million. Some of that money is funding research with Watson.
Watson for Drug Discovery Solution recently identified 5 new genes that are linked to ALS that people had previously no knowledge that they were related at all.
Finally, Sugar IQ with Watson could help the 29 million Americans now living with diabetes.
So we've worked with Medtronic to build a solution. It's kind of a personal assistant in the form of an app, an iOS app. And what it does is it actually takes data that comes from their continuous glucose monitor device and it actually generates insights. They can log their food and, you know, it tracks their activity and lots of other things. And so it starts to detect these patterns like, you know, you tend to go low every day after 2 in the afternoon.
Watson is conquering our medical frontiers.
Conquering or controlling? Did you see that? It's like every person was an image and they knew everything about the person's genome and health and... Wow. Notice the last one there with the diabetes. How was it able to monitor the person's food supply, what they were eating, how that affected them chemically, what was going on in their body? It was external monitors that a lot of people are getting into. Because remember we saw last time, you know, just keep pricking your finger. That's just very annoying. But how would you have something that's externally on your body that, you know, could continually do that? And then you don't have to keep doing that. And so people are getting used to that. But I kid you not, folks, they're, again, looking towards something that's more permanent and building that into the system, right? Again, with the external monitors, be it a cell phone, be it a strap-on device or wearable, whatever, it can fall, it can get lost, it can break, right? But they need a more permanent solution if they're going to be able to do this on a continual basis, and they are. Now, let me give you the buzzword. They're now coming up with what's called smart drugs. AI is not just developing the drugs, controlling the drugs, but they'll use what's called smart drugs to administer your medication. And the smart drugs, okay, by the way, if you see the word smart in front of something, what do you supplant it with? Big Brother. So these are Big Brother drugs. And what these are, I kid you not, is they are drugs that have a tiny microchip in them that you swallow into your body and then begins to monitor the insides of your body as well as administer the drug that you need as they monitor your body. Another term in the media, if you want to do your own research, it's not just called smart drugs, it's called digitized medicine. Digitized medicine. I don't have time to get into this. We're getting ready to close. But I know people firsthand who were a part of developing this microchip technology inside of pills. They were actually helping to develop it. I know them personally. This is not a joke, okay? And again, now the benefit, though, is it's not like these external monitors or the wearables or the cell phone. Now it's on the inside. It's permanent. You can't lose it. Wouldn't that be great? And that's, of course, how they're pitching it. But watch what they say a smart pill could do for you. Watch this.
Would you swallow a medical implant to protect your health? Pretty soon, you can. We know that even common medications can have side effects that aren't fun. You know, those ones that pharma companies spit out at the end of their ads as quickly as humanly possible. And exacerbating this is the fact that about half of people take meds incorrectly anyway, according to one survey by the World Health Organization. Scientists are working on this problem, though, in the form of smart meds or even implants. A team from the American Chemical Society built nanosheets that combined anti-inflammatory drugs with electrodes through a polymer film. They were then able to control the release of the drug through electrical shocks. This study is just one of many projects in the works to create programmable meds, though. For example, swallowable microchips have already been approved by the FDA. A company called Proteus Digital created microchip-embedded pills with tiny sensors that can react to digestive juices. That relays a signal to a patch on your skin, which can then be relayed to your doctor. So if something's awry or if you're not doing your meds correctly, they can get alerted automatically.
Which includes anybody else who wanted to tap into that system, right? But it's too late. You swallowed that smart pill. Now, fast forward to this, and what kind of a scenario can you get? You got a 7-year tribulation. You got all these disasters going on. You got somebody who's already in charge of the medical system. Could he use that as leverage? Right. I mean, and look at all the different angles, right? It's not just can you even get access to the facility. Can you even get a doctor to treat you? Can you even get a diagnosis? Right? Could you even be able to buy and sell for your copay or anything of that nature? But now you're talking about the drug supply. And so couldn't he use this as something like your prescription ran out and people aren't going to stop taking drugs just because it's a 7-year tribulation. People are still going to have diabetes and diseases and all that's going to be on the rise, by the way. And they're going to need surgery. And I mean, your prescription ran out and you're starting to have life-threatening conditions. And you go to wherever and they say, sure, we'll refill that. Or as you saw with the smart, we'll push the button wirelessly so it will administer. And until we do, it won't. What you need, no problem. Just bow a knee to the Antichrist. What's that? You need surgery after all these disasters and you need to be put out for that surgery? Yeah, piece of cake. Just take the mark. What's that? You need diabetes? Oh, it's got to be out of whack now with all these famines. That's all over the place. You're about to die, aren't you? You said something negative about the Antichrist. Come back tomorrow. Maybe we'll treat you if you're still alive. I really think all that could be used as leverage, which I think ultimately is going to lead to this scenario. AI is going to control your death. AI will move to the final stage, and AI will dictate who gets to live and who doesn't. And I believe it'll be wrapped around who receives the mark and who doesn't. But it'll happen on a global scale. Now, again, we'll get into this next time, if we're still alive and still here. But there's a reason for this. We talked about before. Why is it that the Democrat Party and Biden and the comrades are so crazy freaked out, even the last 4 years of Trump administration, that somehow he's going to do away with the Obamacare? Well, again, as we saw, there was a mandate with the Obamacare by 2024 to have all electronic records electronic, which would allow to create a database for AI to access and control people. Also, that everything, the equipment, the drugs, everything, have barcodes go electronic so they can be in charge of who gets what access and things of that nature, as well as to make your co-payment and your payment or get access to health care in the first place, all going electronic. But there's another thing in the Obamacare that a lot of people downplay, but it's there, and we're going to talk about this, Lord willing, next time. They're called the death panels. And the Obamacare system, on top of all I just shared, has panels on there built into the Obamacare system that will decide whether or not you will get that surgery or not, because your particular surgery might cost too much. And John, you've had a good enough life. I think you just need to ride off in the sunset and die. We're not going to give you I kid you not, folks. We're going to talk about that. That's also built in that system. And if you want some homework assignment, basically what it is, another Hollywood movie becoming our reality. You ever see that science fiction movie, Logan's Run? If you can find it, watch it. It's PG. But watch it. We'll talk about that, Lord willing, next time. Where basically the premise of that science fiction movie was you only got to live to a certain amount. And it was your duty to go die. Don't you dare try to run like Logan. We'll find you. How did they find him? They had a little microchip in their hand that tracked him. It's crazy, folks, but that's where we're headed. We'll get to that, Lord willing, next time. But what's our response? Obviously, it's time to freak out and hide, right? No. Why are we sharing all this stuff? God told us this in advance. Why? Not freak out and run to the hills. Look up. Your redemption draws near. Jesus Christ is coming back. We don't know the day nor the hour of the rapture, and we're going to be gone. We're not going to be part of the seven-year tribulation. So this is just a reminder to us. Don't get distracted by what's going on, what they're saying is coming on this planet. Our hope, our mindset is on the world to come, and Jesus Christ is going to be in charge of the planet at that time that we get to be a part of. That's what we get to look forward to. But we need to finish strong. We need to finish faithful, okay? But again, if you're here even today, if you're not saved, this is not a game. What more does God got to do to get your attention before you say, you know what, Jesus Christ, would you please forgive me of all my sins? I take you at your word that you died on the cross for me and that your death on the cross will really, truly forgive me of all my sins. It's a gift. I by faith, receive that gift of eternal life today. Please save me. Please forgive me. The Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Do that today before it's too late. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step, to admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place, so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus, so that we can now have a relationship with God, both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven. Right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.